Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mindfulness at Work for Dummies by Shamash Aladina and Juliet Adams. Narrated by Kitty Hendricks. Publisher's note: this audiobook has bonus material. Please contact whomever you purchased this audiobook from to request the material. Introduction. Mindfulness is a mental discipline and way of being that has been practiced for thousands of years. Modern science has researched mindfulness as a secular practice and discovered its tremendous power creating positive changes in the brain that have never been seen before in brain scans. Mindfulness was initially used in medical settings in the late 1970s. In the decades that followed, the use of mindfulness throughout Western society began to rapidly increase. Nowadays, hundreds of corporate organizations from Google to General Mills use mindfulness to help their employees boost their resilience, productivity, emotional intelligence, focus, or even just to make them feel happier. This book, Mindfulness at Work for Dummies, offers an accessible and fairly comprehensive look at the ways of bringing greater mindfulness into the workplace setting, whatever your motivation. This book is for anyone with any sort of role in the workplace. Employees, small business owners, managers, and corporate executives and leaders will find practical application from this book, we hope. We even explore mindful leadership in some depth, a leadership theory that's now taught in the finest business schools in the world. We wrote this book because we're passionate about mindfulness. Having practiced mindfulness both in our personal and professional lives, we can see the massive positive benefits of a workforce that is trained to use mindfulness, greater creativity, improved communication, and higher levels of productivity and well-being. We also feel mindfulness can help manage the negative consequences of the demanding modern workplace environment, high levels of pressure, tight deadlines, and overly demanding managers can take their toll on the toughest individuals. With stress now one of the leading causes of absence from work, according to the World Health Organization, the need to find ways of building mental resilience is huge. We like to think that mindfulness offers a powerful way of raising resilience in the workplace setting, and the science agrees. With hundreds of organizations, big and small, now offering mindfulness at work, this book offers a systematic and evidence-based way to integrate mindfulness in the workplace. We tried to simplify the concepts without losing their subtle essence and include lots of exercises for everyone to try out, from the boardroom to the shop floor. We hope Mindfulness at Work for Dummies will offer something for you too and offers you a fresh approach to your work. About this book, Mindfulness at Work for Dummies provides you with practical techniques to integrate mindfulness into the workplace. Each chapter is jam-packed with insights about the art of mindfulness, how to be mindful quickly and easily, and how to work with mindful awareness. This book has been written for beginners to the idea of mindfulness and those looking for ways to introduce mindfulness into their organization in a scientifically proven way. This book comes with access to downloadable mindfulness exercises designed specifically for the workplace. The audio is in MP3 format, so you can listen on your computer, phone, MP3 player, or burn onto a CD for your personal use. Within this book, you may note some web addresses. If you want to visit one of these web pages, simply key in the web address exactly as it is noted in the text. Foolish assumptions. In writing this book, we made a few assumptions about who you are. You work on a regular basis or are actively seeking work. You are looking for an approach to improve you and your staff's success in the workplace. You want to be more mindful at work, but don't know where to start. You are willing to try the various mindfulness exercises and strategies we have suggested several times before judging if they could work for you or your staff. You're looking for long-term ways of improving your effectiveness in the workplace, rather than just a quick fix. Beyond those, we've not assumed too much, we hope. This book is for you, whether you're male or female, 18 upwards. Beyond the book. We offer further resources that go with this book. Firstly, visit mawt.co.uk. Register your email to get free resources, links to recommended videos, and access to research material mentioned in this book. Also, visit that website if you'd like to get in touch with us about our own trainings. In addition to the material in the print or ebook, this book comes with some Access Anywhere content on the web. Check out the free cheat sheet at dummies.com/cheat sheet/mindfulness@work UK. We also specially recorded a set of guided mindfulness exercises for you to use along with this book. You can download the content whenever you wish. Go to dummies.com/go/mindfulness@work UK to access the guided mindfulness audio. Where to go from here? We've compiled this book so that you can dip in and out as you please. You're in charge, and it's up to you. If you're a total beginner to mindfulness or not sure where to start, begin with part one, and you'll have a better idea how to proceed. We wish you all the best in your quest to be mindful, or to bring mindfulness to others at work, and hope you find something of use. Part 1. Getting Started with Mindfulness at Work. Web Extras. For Dummies can help you get started with a huge range of subjects. Visit dummies.com to learn more and do more with For Dummies. In this part, find out exactly what mindfulness is and isn't. Discover the genuine impact that practicing mindfulness can have on your brain. Understand the real benefits that mindfulness can bring to both individuals and organizations. Begin your mindfulness at work journey. Develop a sense of perspective in the workplace. Chapter 1. Exploring Mindfulness in the Workplace. In this chapter, identifying what mindfulness is and is not. Retraining your brain. Getting started. In tough economic times, many organizations are looking for new ways to deliver better products and services to customers while simultaneously reducing costs. Carrying on as normal isn't an option. Organizations are looking for sustainable ways to be more innovative. Leaders must really engage staff, and everyone needs to become more resilient in the face of ongoing change. For these reasons, more and more organizations are offering staff training in mindfulness. Major corporations in the USA, like General Mills, and major employers in the UK, such as the National Health Service, have offered staff mindfulness training in recent years. Google and eBay are among the many companies that now provide rooms for staff to practice mindfulness in work time. Business schools, including Harvard Business School in the USA and Ashridge Business School in the UK, now include mindfulness principles in their leadership programs. So what is mindfulness, and why are so many leading organizations investing in it? Becoming more mindful at work. In this section, you'll discover what mindfulness is. More importantly, you'll also discover what mindfulness is not. You'll find out how mindfulness evolved and why it's become so important in the modern-day workplace. Clarifying what mindfulness is. Have you ever driven somewhere and arrived at your destination remembering nothing about your journey? Or grabbed a snack and noticed a few moments later that all you have left is an empty packet? Most people have. These examples are common ones of mindlessness or going on automatic pilot. Like many humans, you're probably not present for much of your own life. You may fail to notice the good things in your life or hear what your body is telling you. You probably also make your life harder than it needs to be by poisoning yourself with toxic self-criticism. Mindfulness can help you to become more aware of your thoughts, feelings, and sensations in a way that suspends judgment and self-criticism. Developing the ability to pay attention to and see clearly whatever is happening moment by moment does not eliminate life's pressures, but it can help you respond to them in a more productive, calmer manner. Learning and practicing mindfulness can help you to recognize and step away from habitual, often unconscious emotional and physiological reactions to everyday events. Practicing mindfulness allows you to be fully present in your life and work and improves your quality of life. Mindfulness can help you to recognize, slow down, or stop automatic and habitual reactions. Respond more effectively to complex or difficult situations. See situations with greater focus and clarity. Become more creative. Achieve balance and resilience at both work and home. Mindfulness at work is all about developing awareness of thoughts, emotions, and physiology, and how they interact with one another. Mindfulness is also about being aware of your surroundings, helping you better understand the needs of those around you. Mindfulness training is like going to the gym. In the same way as training a muscle, you can train your brain to direct your attention to where you want it to be. In simple terms, mindfulness is all about managing your mind. Taking a look at the background. Mindfulness has its origins in ancient Eastern meditation practices. Jon Kabat-Zinn developed mindfulness-based stress reduction, MBSR, in the USA in the late 1970s, which became the foundation for modern-day mindfulness. Figure 1-1, found in the bonus PDF, shows how it developed. In the 1990s, Mark Williams, John Teasdale, and Zindel Segal further developed MBSR to help people suffering from depression. Mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, MBCT, combined cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, with mindfulness. In 2004, MBCT was clinically approved in the UK by the National Institute for Clinical Excellence, NICE, as a treatment of choice for recurrent depression. You can find a mindfulness timeline included in the bonus material of this audiobook, as noted at the beginning of this audiobook. Since the late 1970s, research into the benefits of mindfulness has steadily increased. Recent studies have examined, for example, the impact of practicing mindfulness on the immune system and its effects on those working in high-pressure environments. Advances in brain scanning technology have demonstrated that as little as 8 weeks of mindfulness training can positively alter brain structures, including the amygdala, the fear center, and the left prefrontal cortex, an area associated with happiness and well-being. Other studies show benefits in even shorter periods of time. Busy leaders who practice mindfulness have long extolled its virtues, but little research has existed to back up their claims. Fortunately, researchers are now increasingly focusing their attention on the benefits of mindfulness from a workplace perspective. MBSR and MBCT are taught using a standard 8-week curriculum, and all teachers follow a formalized development route. The core techniques are the same for both courses. Most workplace mindfulness courses are based around MBCT or MBSR, but tailored to meet the needs of the workplace. Although MBSR and MBCT were first developed to help treat a range of physical and mental health conditions, new applications for the techniques have been established. Mindfulness is now being taught in schools and universities, and has even been introduced to prisoners. Many professional education programs, such as MBAs, now include mindfulness training. Researchers have linked the practice of mindfulness to skills that are highly valuable in the workplace. Research suggests that practicing mindfulness can enhance emotional intelligence, creativity and innovation, employee engagement, interpersonal relationships, ability to see the bigger picture, resilience, self-management, problem-solving, decision-making, focus and concentration. In addition, mindfulness is valuable in the workplace because it has a positive impact on immunity and general well-being. It has been demonstrated to relieve the symptoms of depression, anxiety, and stress. See mawt.co.uk for a list of some of the research papers on mindfulness at work. ACT. In the late 1980s, research began by Stephen Hayes and colleagues for another form training called Acceptance and Commitment Therapy, ACT. ACT combines mindfulness and acceptance with action-based strategies. In the last few years, ACT has begun to be adapted to meet the modern workplace, sometimes called acceptance and commitment training. Recognizing what mindfulness isn't. Misleading myths about mindfulness abound. Here are a few. Myth 1. I will need to visit a Buddhist center, go on a retreat, or travel to the Far East to learn mindfulness. Experienced mindfulness instructors are operating all over the world. Many teachers now teach mindfulness to groups of staff in the workplace. One-to-one mindfulness teaching can be delivered in the office, in hotel meeting rooms, or even via the web. Some people do attend retreats after learning mindfulness if they wish to deepen their knowledge, experience peace and quiet, or gain further intuition. But doing so isn't essential. Myth 2. Practicing mindfulness will conflict with my religious beliefs. Mindfulness isn't a religion. For example, MBSR, MBCT, are entirely secular, as are most workplace programs. No religious belief of any kind is necessary. Mindfulness can help you step back from your mental noise and tune into your own innate wisdom. Mindfulness is practiced by people of all faiths and by those with no spiritual beliefs. Practicing mindfulness won't turn you into a hemp-clad tofu eater, a tree-hugging hippie, or a monk sitting on top of a mountain, unless you want to be one of these people, of course. Myth 3. I'm too busy to sit and be quiet for any length of time. When you're busy, the thought of sitting and doing nothing may seem like the last thing you want to do. In 2010, researchers at Harvard University gathered evidence from 250,000 people suggesting that, on average, the mind wanders for 47% of the working day. Just 15 minutes a day spent practicing mindfulness can help you become more productive and less distracted. Then you will be able to make the most of your busy day and get more done in less time. When you first start practicing mindfulness, you'll almost certainly experience mental distractions. But if you persevere, you'll find it easier to tune out distractions and to manage your mind. As time goes on, your ability to concentrate increases, as does your sense of well-being and feeling of control over your life. Myth 4. Practicing mindfulness will reduce my ambition and drive. Practicing mindfulness can help you become more focused on your goals and better able to achieve them. It can help you become more creative and to gain new perspectives on life. If your approach to work is chaotic, mindfulness can make you more focused and centered, which in turn enables you to channel your energy more productively. Coupled with an improved sense of well-being, this ability to focus helps you achieve your career ambitions and goals. Myth 5. If I practice mindfulness, people will take me less seriously and my career prospects will be damaged. Some of the most successful and influential people in the world practice mindfulness. U.S. Senator Tim Ryan, Goldie Hawn, Joanna Lumley, and Ruby Wax are all keen advocates of mindfulness. Practicing mindfulness doesn't involve sitting cross-legged on the floor. An office chair is fine. If you find it impossible to sit quietly and focus because you work in an open-plan office, or you're concerned about what others think, plenty of other everyday activities are available that can become opportunities to practice mindfulness that nobody will notice. Walking, eating, waiting for your computer to boot up, or even exercising at the gym are all good opportunities to practice mindfulness. Mindfulness can be practicing with your eyes open whilst you're moving around during the day. Myth 6. Mindfulness and meditation are one and the same. Mindfulness is just a trendy new name. Fact: mindfulness often involves specific meditation practices. Fiction: all meditation is the same. Many popular forms of meditation are all about relaxation, leaving your troubles behind, and imagining yourself in a calm and tranquil special place. Mindfulness helps you to find out how to live with your life in the present moment, warts and all, rather than run away from it. Mindfulness is about approaching life and things that you find difficult and exploring them with openness rather than avoiding them. Most people find that practicing mindfulness does help them to relax, but that this relaxation is a welcome byproduct, not the objective. Training your attention, the power of focus. Are you one of the millions of workers who routinely put in long hours, often for little or no extra pay? In the current climate of cutbacks, job losses, and business efficiencies, many people feel the need to work longer hours just to keep on top of their workload. However, research shows that working longer hours does not mean that you get more done. Actually, if you continue to work when past your peak, your performance slackens off and continues to do so as time goes on. See Chapter 5. Imagine your job is to chop logs. After a while, your axe needs sharpening, and your muscles need resting. If you keep going, you'll become very inefficient and are more likely to have an accident. By taking a break and sharpening your axe, you can return to the job and get more done in less time. You'll probably enjoy the job more, too. Mindfulness practice is like taking that break. You both re-energize yourself and sharpen your mind, ready for your next activity. Discovering how to focus and concentrate better is the key to maintaining peak performance. Recognizing when you've slipped past peak performance and then taking steps to bring yourself back to peak is also vital. Mindfulness comes in at this point. Over time, it helps you focus your attention to where you want it to be. Try this. Focusing your attention may sound easy, but try thinking of just one thing for 90 seconds. It could be an object on your desk, a specific sound, or the sensation of your own breathing. Focus your full attention on your chosen object, sound, or sensation, and nothing else. Then consider these questions. Did you manage to focus your complete attention for the full 90 seconds, or did your mind wander and random thoughts arise? Did you become distracted by a bodily pain or ache? Did you find yourself getting annoyed with yourself, or annoyed with a sound such as a ticking clock or traffic? You're not alone. Most people find this activity really difficult at first. In truth, you're unlikely to ever be able to shut out all of your mental chatter. But you can turn the volume right down. Doing so enables you to see things more clearly, reduce time wasted on duplicated work, and stop your mind wandering. Mindfulness offers you a way of getting more done in less time without burning yourself out. Applying mindful attitudes. Practicing mindfulness involves more than just training your brain to focus. It also teaches you some alternative mindful attitudes to life's challenges. You discover the links between your thoughts, emotions, and physiology. You find out that what's important isn't what happens to you, but how you choose to respond that matters. This statement may sound simple, but most people respond to situations based on their mental programming, past experiences and predictions of what will happen next. Practicing mindfulness makes you more aware of how your thoughts, emotions, and physiology impact on your responses to people and situations. This awareness then enables you to choose how to respond rather than reacting on autopilot. You may well find that you respond in a different manner. By gaining a better understanding of your brain's response to life events, you can use mindfulness techniques to reduce your fight or flight response and regain your body's rest and relaxation state. You will see things more clearly and get more done. Mindfulness also brings you face to face with your inner bully, the voice in your head that says you are not talented enough, not smart enough, or not good enough. By learning to treat thoughts like these as just mental processes and not facts, the inner bully loses its grip on your life and you become free to reach your full potential. These examples are just a few of the many ways that a mindful attitude can have a positive impact on your life and career prospects. Finding out why your brain needs mindfulness. Recent advances in brain scanning technology are helping us to understand why our brain needs mindfulness. In this section, you discover powerful things about your brain, its evolution, its hidden rules, how thoughts shape your brain structure, and the basics of how your brain operates at work. The science behind it. Your brain's technical specifications. Size. Around 1,300 grams. That's over 3 times the size of a chimpanzee's, our closest animal relative. The human brain accounts for 2% of the body's weight, but it uses around 20% of its energy. Energy consumption. A typical adult human brain runs on around 12 watts, a fifth of the power required by a standard 60-watt light bulb. Compared with most other organs, the brain is energy hungry, but compared to man-made electronics, the brain is extremely efficient. IBM's Watson supercomputer depends on 90 IBM Power, 750 servers, each of which requires around 1,000 watts. Operating system. Energy travels to the brain via blood vessels in the form of glucose. The brain contains billions of nerve cells that send and receive information around the body. The brain never sleeps. It provides instant access to information on demand. Performance. Neurons, brain cells that process and transmit information through electrical and chemical signals, fire around 5 to 50 times a second, or faster. Signals cross your brain in a tenth or hundredth of a second. Evolving from lizard to spaceman. In order to understand how mindfulness works, you need to know some basics about the human brain. Over millions of years, the human brain has evolved to become the most sophisticated on the planet. See Figure 1-2 in the bonus material of this audiobook. The oldest part of the brain is known as the reptilian brain. It controls your body's vital functions, such as heart rate, breathing, body temperature, and balance. Your reptilian brain include the main structures found in a reptile's brain, the brain stem and the cerebellum. The middle part of your brain is known as the limbic brain. It emerged in the first mammals. It records memories of behaviors that produced agreeable and disagreeable experiences for you. The limbic system is responsible for your emotions and value judgments. The reptilian brain and limbic system are quite rigid and inflexible in how they operate. We call these two areas the primitive brain. The newest part of our brain is the neocortex. It has deep grooves and wrinkles that allow the surface area to increase far beyond what could otherwise fit in the same size skull. It accounts for around 85% of the human brain's total mass. Some say that the neocortex is what makes us human. The neocortex is responsible for your abstract thoughts, imagination, and consciousness. For simplicity, we call it the higher brain. The higher brain is highly flexible and
sample complete. Ready to continue?